The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Episode 1. No Longer Alone. Part 1. It was a warm fall day, and Jim Corrigan had opened his office window all the way so he could smell the fresh air from the San Francisco Bay at his desk. It had been an incredibly hot summer, but now fall was coming, and he suspected he would become depressed when winter rolled around. At least, that was how it had always been. But things had changed. Since he had met the beautiful thief Rhea during the ugly business with the Vita Eterna cult a short while ago, he had felt very different. In fact, the last year had changed a lot of things for him. Having Mercedes, Andrew, and Feline in his life had given him a sense of calm and peace he hadn't felt for decades. He had even begun to go to sleep at night instead of sitting up and reading. The idea that there were other people in the house was somehow enough for him to maintain a more normal daily rhythm. Jim sat, leaned back in his chair, while reading through one of the case files on his desk. Even though he no longer had as easy a time of talking to spirits as he used to, clients still came in, mostly due to what Mercedes and Feline called their personal marketing technique. They put out calling cards and brochures in malls, hotels, bars, youth centers, even churches. The cards and brochures all had the same catch line: "We'll believe you." There were a lot of stories that needed telling in the Bay Area, and a lot of them sounded too weird for the police or the FBI. That was the kind of people they hoped to draw in, and so far, it seemed to work. It didn't hurt that Bob, the bartender at the Convergence Club, had agreed to pass out the cards to his customers as well. His bar clientele came from the part of the world most people didn't even know existed, the world of demons, werewolves, wizards, and other more or less supernatural creatures. Those cases had been even more interesting, although it had taken the others a while to get used to their client's appearance. But, as Mercedes had said, as long as the credit card isn't rejected and the cash isn't counterfeit, why should they be treated any different? Right now, he could hear Mercedes puttering around in the front room, which they had designated as the lobby. When Jim had moved his office to his private house, after his old office was destroyed by the Soul Eater, they had done some remodeling, and the downstairs floor was now exclusively designated to the detective agency. Jim's office, Andrew's office, and Mercedes' big lobby, where she kept her desk, took up most of the space, with only the kitchen and bathroom left from the original layout. Jim lived upstairs, where he had a bedroom, living room, and guest room, and Andrew had settled down in the attic, where he seemed very comfortable. Jim had thought that having a housemate after all these years of living alone would be problematic, but Andrew had turned out to be a very quiet nature when he was off work. Most days, when he wasn't working, he would go hiking in the forests around the city, camping out for a day or two. Feline, who had developed a crush on him, had asked to come along but had been disappointed when he refused. In the woods, he told her, he preferred to be alone. Mercedes hummed a happy tune, which usually meant she was doing something work-related. It was when she fell completely silent, he knew she was writing emails to her friends or playing one of her phone or computer games. He suspected she was busy with the accounting books. Jim took a sip of his coffee and found it had gone cold. He decided to get up and get a fresh cup, but had barely swung his feet from his desk to the floor when the doorbell rang. The bell was followed by the buzzing sound from Mercedes' door opener. He could hear her voice and a female voice he did not recognize.
"Hi there. Welcome to Tempest Investigations. How can I help you?"
"Well, I'd like to speak to someone. Someone who knows about..."
The voice broke off and wavered. It sounded like she was close to tears.
"Someone who knows about... Well, it's hard to explain, but..."
"Relax, please. Come on in."
Mercedes' voice sounded sympathetic. Jim put his coffee cup back on the desk and opened the door to the lobby. Mercedes was halfway around her desk, reaching out an arm to the woman standing in front of it. She was Asian, with black hair and dark eyes, and Jim guessed her to be in her mid-30s. Of course, as a man who had looked the same since before World War II, he knew that trying to guess someone's age might not be that easy. The woman was obviously on the verge of crying. Her eyes were glistening with moisture, and her shoulders shook as if she was trying to hold back the tears by willpower alone. Mercedes put an arm around her and was about to lead her to a chair in the lobby when Jim spoke up.
"Why don't you just bring her in, Mercedes? I'm not busy and it sounds like it's important. Hi, I'm Jim Corrigan."
He was about to reach out his hand, but decided to wait. The woman's hands were busy finding a tissue in her purse. She pressed the tissue against her eyes and seemed to compose herself before turning her face towards him.
"I'm Susan Trinh."
"Would you like some coffee, Susan?"
Mercedes asked. Susan nodded. "Great. I'll have a cup too, Mercedes. Would you get them and then come into the office afterwards? And tell Feline and Andrew to get downstairs?"
"Is Feline even here?"
"Yeah, she's probably in the living room upstairs." Jim didn't mention that Feline, being a cat-human shapeshifter, was probably snoozing on the couch in a patch of sunlight. He led Susan into his office, placed her on the sofa by the window, and sat down in his desk chair. Susan was still dabbing her eyes, but seemed to have calmed down somewhat. It was something Jim had seen before. Taking that first step and asking for help could sometimes be emotional. There was a short knock on the door, and Andrew walked in, coffee mug in hand and his blue eyes alight with good cheer.
"Hello there. Nice to meet you. I'm Andrew Picard."
He settled down in one of the lounge chairs and looked at Jim.
"Did I miss anything?"
"Nope. We'll wait for Mercedes and Feline."
As he spoke, Mercedes appeared, holding a tray with cups, cream, and sugar on it. She put it down on the desk and straightened up as Feline came in behind her and shut the door. Mercedes pushed her long, dark hair out of her eyes and looked over at Susan.
"How do you take it?"
"Black, please."
Mercedes handed her a cup before sitting down next to her, holding her own. Feline, who looked a little fuzzy-haired and sleepy, found a seat in the last chair in the room. She didn't drink coffee, but preferred milk.
"All right, Susan," Jim said. "Welcome to Tempest Investigations. This is the whole team. Andrew, Feline, and Mercedes, who you've already met. Everyone, this is Susan Trinh. Now, please tell us how we can help you."
Andrew's eyes widened.
"Trinh? Wait a minute. Didn't I read about you in the paper a few weeks ago?"
Susan nodded slowly.
"What did you do to get in the paper?"
Feline asked, interested.
"Did you kill somebody?"
Jim looked at Feline with a stern face. The girl was still far from mastering her social skills before she would ever be able to act fully human. Susan slowly shook her head.
"No, I didn't kill anyone. But someone killed my son. And I want you to find out who did, because everyone else says it was suicide."
"Maybe you'd better start at the beginning," Jim encouraged.
He had done numerous questionings and interrogations in his time as a cop, and knew how to fight a witness's urge to jump to the story's conclusion. Susan Trinh nodded as she took a sip from her cup.
"Yes, of course. I'll try."
She cleared her throat, and the hand not holding the cup began to fidget with the used tissue.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel, because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
My son's name is Simon Trin. He was 7 years old. He was a good boy. Very smart. Very attentive. Everyone always said that he was such a delight to be around.
They all nodded, not wanting to interrupt.
Simon had gone to play at the playground at the end of our block. It's just a little thing with swings and seesaws, a jungle gym, but it's something we all help to keep nice. The adults on the block often take turns monitoring it, so it's a safe place to send your kids.
Her voice trailed off, and she looked out the window for a moment. So you sent Simon to the playground? Jim said, prodding her on. Susan nodded.
Yes, sorry. He went out there to play, and I was doing the dishes in the kitchen at home. I knew that Miss Ratchet was monitoring that afternoon, so I just told him to come home when I called for him. He said yes and gave me a hug before he left. And I never saw him again. Are you saying he killed himself in the playground?
Feline asked.
No, well, yes, but he didn't kill himself. Miss Ratchet was there, as I said, and she told me later that he was playing with a jump rope while the Clark twins were on the swings. When Patty Clark jumped off her swing, she scraped her knee, and Miss Ratchet walked her and her brother home. It's literally 20 steps from the playground to the Clark's door, so she felt justified in leaving Simon there, she said. She could see the entrance to the playground the whole time, and no one else entered or exited. Her own daughter, Millie, was in her stroller sleeping, so she left her behind as well.
I take it the playground is enclosed in some way? Jim asked.
A board fence. It goes all around it, and there's only the one entrance. You could climb it, of course, but not without being seen.
I see. Go on, Susan.
Miss Ratchet walked to the Clark house with the kids and returned a few minutes later. She swears it was probably only 2 or 3 minutes, but in that time, no one came or went in the playground. When she got back,
Susan swallowed visibly.
Simon was hanging by his neck from the jungle gym's top. The jump rope had been made into a hangman's noose, and he was more than a foot off the ground. He was already dead. She called 911. I tried giving him mouth to mouth, but...
Tears began rolling down Susan's cheeks, and Mercedes took her hand.
He had broken his neck. The doctor said he probably died instantly. The jump rope was made of actual string, not plastic, so it didn't give when he, dropped.
Jim nodded at Andrew, who got up and got the box of tissues. He put it down gently next to Susan, who took one and blew her nose.
I'm sorry, it's just...
No, we understand. It's fine, Susan. Take the time you need. Jim spoke slowly and used a calming voice, which made Susan take a deep breath and continue.
Miss Ratchet came running to get me after calling 911. When the ambulance came, I went to the hospital with him, and they tried... but he was gone. The doctor told me it was suicide, but it can't be. The police won't listen to me, though. But then I heard about you. Do you think...
Well, we do tend to believe things our clients tell us, Andrew said. But why is it you suspect this wasn't suicide? The fact that there was no one else in the playground except a baby in a stroller would seem to be pretty convincing.
First of all, why would he kill himself? He was 7 years old. He was a happy, cheerful, and bright boy. He had absolutely no reason to do something like that.
I see. Go on. Andrew listened with growing interest. His bureau instincts often made him think like a policeman, even though he now knew there was more to this world than most people believed.
Second of all, the police told me the rope was tied in a hangman's noose. They even showed me pictures of it. But Simon didn't know how to tie knots. He could barely tie his own shoes, much less the complicated knots the scouts or sailors use. Or the hangman, for that matter.
Jim rubbed his chin. That's interesting, Susan. Could he have learned it from someone in his last days, perhaps? A playmate? Or did he and his father go fishing? I remember a fishing knot that's very similar to a hangman's knot.
Even if someone had tried teaching him to make such a knot, he wouldn't have been able to learn. Simon had issues with his base motor skills. His teacher said it would be very hard for him to learn how to write, and he always had a hard time coloring or using scissors. There is no way he would have been able to rig such a complex knot and then use it to hang himself like that. Not to mention, as I said, that the rope was tied to the top of the jungle gym.
So
if he had climbed that high, Miss Ratchet would have seen him. The jungle gym is higher than the fence. It's about 8 or 9 feet all in all. She didn't see him up there.
Jim, Mercedes, and Andrew exchanged looks. Feline was busy cleaning her nails. It sounds like a very interesting case, Susan, Jim said. Of course, if the police are already doing an investigation, I hope you understand that we have no legal right to interfere.
The police are useless. They call it suicide. They claim he must have done it himself based on Miss Ratchet's statement. As far as they're concerned, the case is closed.
I see. Well, I'll still need to check with them before we take an active part in an investigation. Fortunately, I do have good friends in the SFPD. But I have to ask you, what are you looking for from us?
I want you to find out who killed him.
Even if... Susan hesitated.
Even if that someone isn't human.
Why wouldn't he be human? Mercedes asked.
My friend, who told me to go see you? Well, she's told me you're paranormal investigators, that you do cases involving all sorts of... Oh, I don't know. I never believed in supernatural things before. But this...
She wiped her eyes again.
I want answers, Mr. Corrigan. If you have kids yourself, you should know what I mean.
A shadow went over Jim's face for an instant. Before his first death in the 1930s, he and his wife, Ginger, had indeed talked about kids and wanted them very much. After his death and resurrection, he had thought it far too risky to attempt having children with anyone. Who knew if immortality could be passed on? This might seem like an odd question, Susan, but is there anyone who would want to harm you, or perhaps your husband? Could someone try to get you through your child?
I don't know who that could be. My husband and I live a perfectly ordinary life. We keep to ourselves and we aren't involved in anything dangerous.
You'd be surprised what can motivate people to want to hurt someone. A jealous colleague, a spurned lover. But you can't think of any reason?
Not in the slightest.
Jim knocked his knuckles against the wood of the table. Well, Susan, we'll be happy to look into it, but you should know the nature of our investigations being what they are. We can't promise you anything. This is also why we're not going to ask you for money up front for this.
We're not?
Feline asked. As always, when the subject of money came up, she was suddenly alert. No, we're not. It wouldn't be right to ask for payment in advance when there's so little to go on.
Fine, Feline mumbled. As long as I get paid, what do I care?
If we find something, we'll bring it to your attention, Jim said. And then we'll discuss payment. Usually our rate is $200 a day plus expenses.
That's fine, Mr. Corrigan.
Jim, please.
Jim, then, when can I expect to hear from you?
Well, we'll go look at the scene and see what we can find out afterwards from the police. Why don't we contact you within a couple of days? If you'll leave your contact information with Mercedes, we'll be in touch. Susan nodded. Her tears had somewhat slowed now, and when Mercedes gave her an encouraging side hug, she actually smiled at her. All of the team members could feel, however, that here was a woman deep in a grief not easily lifted. Susan finished her coffee and slowly stood up. Mercedes walked ahead of her, out to her own desk, while Susan shook hands with Jim and Andrew. Feline waved casually at her.
Whatever you find out, Jim, please believe me. I'm not crazy. I truly think something is very wrong about my son's death.
We believe you. Tell me, has your son been buried yet?
No. The funeral is this Friday. As far as I know, he's still at the, well, wherever the police keep the dead. We're due to get him back on Thursday.
That's good. With your permission, I'll send Andrew down to take a look at him.
Of course, if you think it might help.
It's a possibility, at least. Thank you for coming, Susan. I'll be in touch. Susan went to Mercedes' desk and Jim closed the door. Feline still sat in the chair, but Andrew had walked up next to him. What do you think? Jim asked.
I don't know. It does seem odd that no one was seen on the playground, but Miss Ratchet could have looked away for a moment. Eyewitnesses are amongst the most unreliable people in the world, as you well know.
Yeah. What bothers me is that there's no apparent motive for a murder. If someone killed little Simon and left him hanging there to be found, not only was that person very efficient, getting in and out without being seen, but he or she perhaps did it without any reason whatsoever, except the pleasure of killing. That kind of person is very dangerous.
You're thinking of Michael, aren't you? That angel guy you met last year?
Yes, but this isn't his style. He was far more graphic in his killings, and they were done recreating biblical imagery. Judas hung himself, Andrew said in a dry voice. Okay, but there's a very convincing argument that it can't be him. The guy's dead and at the bottom of the bay in two pieces.
Stranger things have happened.
Jim reached for his jacket. Let's go take a look at the crime scene. Feline, are you with us or staying home?
Feline stretched her legs and got to her feet in a graceful motion. I'll come with you.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.